Hi, this is Susie Larson, and thank you so much for listening to Live the Promise today. Our website is filled with even more powerful and encouraging interviews. Learn more by logging on to My Faith Radio. Thanks so much for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson, and this is Live the Promise, and we are here to help you engage in a strong and active walk of faith. I'm really glad you're listening today. Well, if you're a mama, you wear many hats. You know that, don't you? And oftentimes, you can get so focused on your children's needs that you neglect your own. And while that may sound noble, it's just not sustainable. So we're going to talk today about what it means to be a truly happy mom. Arlene Pellicane joins me back on the show to talk about her new book, 31 Days to Becoming a Happy Mom. And let me tell you about her. We'll get her on this show. Arlene Pellicane's an author and a speaker. Before becoming a stay-at-home mom, she worked as an associate producer for Turning Point Television. She lives in the San Diego area with her husband, James, and their three young children. Arlene, welcome back to the program.
So fun to be with you again.
Well, Arlene, tell me this. Is there a verse, passage of scripture that you've been camping on these days that you can share with us?
There is. You know, I've been reading Deuteronomy 6, and it's those verses, those commandments I give you today, they're to be on your hearts, impress them on your children, talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down, and when you get up. And I've been kind of thinking about it with the framework of the screens that we have around us, because we tend to, like when we sit at home and when we walk along the road, we're not, the average American family, we're not like talking about God's word or talking about the day. We're looking at our phones and playing video games. And when we get up, we're not necessarily spending those first moments with God. We might be checking our texts or doing something else. And so it just, and when you lie down, you just see it, all these points where a mom could connect with her kids and connect to God. Like many times we are busy on our screens and our kids are too. So that's kind of taken a new life for me to think of, wow, we've got to put this stuff down and start impressing God's word on our kids' hearts while we have these little patches of time in the day.
Wow, that is a great word. I mean, how many really God moments do we miss because we are spending time with the screens in front of us? And how much time is wasted? I mean, truly, when it's all said and done, have we gained ground in any way, shape, or form with all that screen time? Wow. Well, tell me the catalyst for writing this new book, 31 Days to Becoming a Happy Mom.
You might say it was this woman at the thrift store that I saw, and I was shopping there too, so I am not bashing the thrift store. And there was a woman, and she had three kids with her. They were probably all under seven, and they're, you know, peeking in and out of the racks, and she's like, come on, be quiet. And one of her kids came over to me. I smiled at him, and he just kicked me right in the shin.
Wow.
And I was like, ow. And she's like, oh, I'm so sorry. And I mean, they were just little terrors. And then as I was leaving, she had him under her arm. You know, he was like perpendicular and he's screaming and crying. And I thought, how in the world can you be a happy mom if you are with those children all day long, every day? And so a lot of this of wanting to write the book was to encourage that mom out there that, you know what, life does not have to be this way. Yes, there are hard moments of motherhood, but there are a few things, a few good habits you can have as a mom that will really help you to enjoy being a mom much more than that mom that I saw that day at the thrift store.
I don't know if this was the same mom, but some mom had the gift of discouragement, came up to you and said, well, it all goes downhill from here.
That's right.
Yeah. I love those. You know, those, when I was a young mom, the just wait statements are my favorite. Just wait till they're adolescents, till they're teens, or till they're in their twos, or till this or that. And boy, that, just reading that story reminded me again, my kids are grown and gone now, but I got to say, this just is a reminder of how important it is that we steward a right perspective, because our perspective, like it or not, if you're a believer or an unbeliever, our perspective is contagious, isn't it?
Yeah, it certainly is. The things we believe, they affect our behavior. And for our children, if they can be raised with a mom that made it look like at least she was enjoying most of it, you know,
yeah.
then later, as they are older, they can say, you know, my mom enjoyed being a mom and she loved us. And if she's a, if it's a girl, you know, someday I want to be a mom too. Instead of, man, that looked horrible what my mom had to go through. She was always stressed and frustrated, and I'm not sure if I want that. And so for us to think, you know, us learning how to be happier, that that's not just a service to ourselves, but it is a service to our families.
Mm, so good. I got, my sons are in their 20s, as I said, and one of them's manager of a particular store, and he's assistant manager, I should say. They're lining him up to be manager for another store, and he had his eye on this one that would be closer to home, and he told his boss, he said, that's the one that my mom's praying for. And he's like, well, nobody ever leaves there. That's a big one, blah, blah, blah. And my son said, you don't know my mom. And
that's right.
And you don't know how she prays.
Exactly.
And I love that. I'm like, oh, I'm so grateful that he knows I'm a bulldog. But anyway.
What a legacy, right?
Amen. That's great. So grateful. Well, in my opening, I said that moms often neglect their own needs in order to serve their kids and their husband. And I know there's a certain order we can talk about here, but why do so many women fall into this practice and even consider it noble? I mean, to the point where they're neglecting themselves and their husbands and their marriage for the sake of the kids.
Yeah, it's so funny. We can get things all flipped around that, of course, it's great to serve your kids, and of course, it's great to be available. But when everything is going towards your children and you are not getting enough sleep, you are not having a date with your husband on a regular basis, you are not doing something that you enjoy just for pure enjoyment for yourself once in a while, then you get to be kind of a cranky person because you realize, wait a minute, this is out of balance. This is, it's all skewed. And so for us, you know, to put those priorities in, and we've all heard it in the airplane, put on your oxygen mask before you put on the oxygen mask of others. And just to realize that one of the keys to being a happy mom is being a healthy mom, emotionally healthy, physically healthy. And that really can start with just sleeping, which I love because I love to sleep. And my husband, he calls what we do as women, you know, we'll volunteer for something. We hear, oh, they need cupcakes. Oh, okay, I'll bake cupcakes. I'll run to the store and I'll bake something. Well, this happened to me once, and it was about, you know, 10 o'clock at night, and I was baking cupcakes, and he's like, what are you doing? And I said, well, I said I would bring them tomorrow. And so he calls that the cupcake spirit. Whenever I do something above and beyond of what I should be doing instead of going to sleep. So if he hears me like volunteering for something, maybe we should, he'll say cupcake spirit, you know. And we women were very good at that cupcake spirit of what more can I do to serve my children. And sometimes we just have to say, you know what, my plate is full right now and I'm sorry, I cannot bake cupcakes for you, and instead I'm going to have a good night's sleep so I can be nicer to my husband, nicer to my kids in the day. And if you consistently do that, you'll have a much higher quality of life than if you run yourself ragged day in, day out in the name of doing good deeds for your family, but then you are regretting it because you just can't sustain that.
Okay, let's camp here for just a moment, because we so do that as young moms, but we throw it all in the pile of there is no sleep or rest for a young mom. But it's not true, because Scripture says, Jesus says, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. And so I think if you clear off the plate the things God has not asked you to do, and you obey his command and invitation to rest, even though there, you know, we can be sleep deprived when our kids are young. I feel like because of that kind of idea that we're just, it's kind of unattainable, we throw it all out, saying, you know, but I feel like to go after some kind of steady bedtime, to grab times to rest, to say no so you can say yes to rest. It is possible to get more rest than a lot of young moms are getting, don't you think?
This is a huge key, because a lot of us will just say it's just not possible. But I will tell you, I have three children. They're in first grade, fourth grade, and sixth grade. And all of them were sleeping through the night 8 weeks, I think 13 weeks, and 11 weeks. Because we just believed it was possible that if my child is dry and if they are safe and if they cry, they're going to be just fine. And then that baby learns to soothe themselves, and they learn to fall asleep. And people with my first baby would be like, well, that you just got lucky. And then the second baby, oh, well, you got lucky again. Then the third baby, you know, and I learned that, and I know there are going to be exceptions to this, and some of your listeners are already thinking, but wait, you know, but know that it is possible for children at a young age to sleep through the night. And if you've got a toddler or a preschooler who's running into your room all the time, there are things that you can do to make that very counterproductive. You know, my husband would make it very unpleasant when our 2 or 3 year old would charge into our room in the middle of the night, so that they know you need to get a good night's sleep in your bed and we need to get a good night's sleep in ours. And it really is possible if you're consistent and if you believe that you really can do it.
Well, here's the thing. I remember when my kids were young and I was so sleep deprived, I learned that one of the ways that terrorists brainwash people is they deprive them of sleep. And I'm like, I believe it.
Exactly.
I just, you know, I mean, I could not get perspective to save my life. But I've studied that in just some of the things that I've written on. And to take it on a bigger scale, when you perpetually ignore rest, you make yourself so vulnerable to the schemes of the enemy. This is where people make choices they never otherwise would. They start to use shortcuts as a way of life, which weakens and destabilizes them. Your immunities take a massive hit. Your weight, your metabolism, you can't even burn fat as well when you're so fatigued. And so on the flip side, I know you give some benefits of rest. I mean, make the case, if you would, before we dig into some of these other happy mom ideas. I just wanted to go for this one first because it's so huge. Make the case for rest. What are the benefits for the mom who's making rest a priority?
You know, you kind of touched on it, and it's the idea most of us as moms are struggling with losing weight. Like, we're trying to lose our baby weight even though our baby was born 10 years ago. You know, that is happening. And so one of the huge benefits of sleeping well is that it'll suppress that hunger hormone that's always like, I'm hungry, I'm hungry, I'm hungry. Whereas when you're not sleeping as well, you tend to overeat. And so even just from a weight loss perspective, what a nice diet plan. Just get 8 hours of sleep a night, and that will actually help you out. And then, you know, all those things, you'll be able to think more clearly. You can make better decisions. You can, when you're not as tired, you can tell yourself, okay, even though you're upset, get in a good mood, put a smile on your face. But when you're tired and you tell yourself that, you're like, oh, forget it. Mm-hmm. It's hopeless. You know, and if you're married, if you have more energy, then you can be more intimate with your husband, which is, of course, a very important part of the marriage component. So there's all these wonderful things that you can do. And you know, a very simple thing would be, you know, we have these bedtime routines for our children, to have a bedtime routine for yourself. Like, you read a certain book before you go to bed, and you might drink a cup of tea if that's your thing, and then power off your screens 1 hour before. So even like, try not to check your phone, all those kinds of things, 1 hour before you go to sleep. So that way your body starts saying it's time to go to sleep, because when your eyes see that screen, it says, oh, it's time to wake up. And then it you're not producing as much melatonin, which helps you go to sleep. And so power down those screens an hour before you actually want to be asleep, and that will help you.
There are some great nighttime teas you can drink. There's Epsom salts that are lavender. You can get those at Target. Put them in your bath. Take a nice hot bath. Drink your tea. Read your book. You're all set. You can do this. I just feel like this is so important, and that conversation needed to really top this conversation. When we come back, we're going to talk about the acronym HAPPY that Arlene came up with. Love to talk with Arlene, and I'd love to get a copy of her book in your hands. We've got a few copies of 31 Days to Becoming a Happy Mom. 877-93-FAITH, 877-933-2484, or email Susie@myfaithradio.com. Back in a moment. Tuned in today. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise, talking to Arlene Pelican today about her new book, 31 Days to Becoming a Happy Mom. I got to read this because this is awesome. Arlene writes, you are not running a hotel. You're managing a home. You don't have guests to cater to. You have children to raise. We can easily get caught up in the mommy culture around us where the roles have been hijacked. Kids are calling the shots and moms are taking the orders. When that happens, unhappiness reigns supreme, not just for moms, but for the kids too. I want you to talk about that dynamic. Even though kids would love to be propped up, fed grapes and fanned all day, why that's not good for them.
Yeah, and isn't this a huge thing that you see over and over in the homes, that here we are and how can we help you? How can we make life easy for you? How can we serve you? And the idea here is that your children are going to have to grow up someday and take care of themselves. And we're not going to be able to rescue them and be able to cook for them all the time and clean for them all the time. And no wonder we're so stressed out, because we're not only doing our tasks, but we're doing all the tasks that our children could be helping with. So I think we can shortchange our kids. And I have to admit, you know, I was this only child, pampered, did not do my laundry till I was in college. So I totally get this, where my husband is last of four. And by the time he was in first grade, he's separating, you know, darks and whites.
Way
you know,
to actually, go, Mom.
Actually, he's probably throwing them in all together, but he was doing his own laundry. So here we are, and I've come to realize that, you know what, a kind of a blend of our parenting styles would be good because our kids do need to learn these things. We don't have guests to entertain. It's not our job as parents to constantly be amusing our children and making sure they're okay. They need to learn how to do that themselves, to be able to find things to do on their own, for them to be able to take care of their basic needs according to their ages and stages so that they are packing their own lunch. You know, so, you know, I have a first grader, a fourth grader, and the sixth grader. The fourth and sixth definitely pack independently, and then the first grader is starting to assemble things on her own, but I kind of still help her with spreading the sandwich and such. But to get your kids doing their own things, because this is a home, not a hotel.
Oh, that is so good. I remember one time when my youngest was in grade school and he was sick, and I just wanted to take care of him. I don't know. I mean, I'm embarrassed to even admit it, but I, you know, he's sitting on my bed and I prop him up with pillows and I got a pillow under his feet and I brought him his little lunch and had a little movie on, and he puts his hands behind his head and he's like, Mom, can we do this every day? And I'm like, oh, my word, what have I done? And I pulled one of the pillows out from his foot and tossed it at him just kind of to tease him. I'm like, absolutely not. What have I created
here? That's right.
But who wouldn't like to be prompt, you know, pampered?
Totally.
Right, yep. Okay, so let's talk this HAPPY acronym, if you would. Let's unpack it.
Yeah, looking at the word happy, that H is becoming healthy, and that's the idea that you need to be emotionally healthy, spiritually healthy, physically healthy, so that you can pass that on to your kids. The A is action-oriented, so act, moms, instead of promising, begging, threatening, yelling, pleading, you know, act. Think of what are the actions that would really speak to your children, because the lectures, especially with younger kids, they don't work so well. And then the P is to become prayerful, and being that bulldog prayer like you are. You know, Susie, for moms to say, instead of Googling the answer, which is what we now always automatically do to our children's, you know, if they have mucus, we just Google mucus and we like figure out, what am I supposed to do here? So instead of Googling everything first, we need to pray first. Prayer to be our first defense, our trust, our hope to be in prayer. Yes, you may Google about your child's cold, but let that be part of what you do, but let that not be all that you do. So bring prayer into focus as a mom. And then the next P is becoming perseverant, that this whole gig isn't over at dinner. You know, you've got a lot of years ahead of you. So let's think long haul. How are today's decisions impacting my child's future? And remembering, I am not raising a child. I am raising an adult, a future adult. And then the last letter is Y in the word happy, and that's becoming yes-filled, to realize that, you know, this motherhood thing is not a 20-year death sentence. I still have freedoms, and I still have things I can enjoy. And looking for those things you can celebrate and enjoy together as a family, the yeses on your family calendar.
So, so good. You know, I'd love for you to make this distinction, if you would, because as someone who's, you know, you blink and those kids are grown up, you have your one life with them. And sometimes when we don't know who we are, we say yes to way too many things while our kids are young to prove ourselves, to rescue an identity that's already been rescued by Jesus. And then you look back and go, I hauled them all over the place. I gave away time I didn't need to give away. And I'd give anything to go back and sit on the floor. I hear that from moms. And on the flip side, you know, you've got the martyr mom who's just not doing anything for themselves. So maybe strike a balance as far as being healthy, caring for ourselves, but also remembering we've got this one time, this one stretch of 18 years with our kids. Say a word about that.
And that truly is that balancing act, that it's not the science of this equals this. But I think if you have young children in the home and you can talk every once in a while to whether it's your mother or grandmother, an older friend who are empty nesters, and you can have this perspective of, wow, this is not forever. I really need to cherish this and savor these moments. And when something really precious happens, I need to write it down in a little journal and I need to remember. So to realize that this isn't going to be forever, that these kids are here. So you're appreciating the moment, you're savoring the moment, and you're having that. And then I think, you know, on the other side, that those times I talked to this mom and we were just in a playground and we just struck up a conversation, come to find out she loves volleyball. Her eyes just lit up. She used to play competitively. And I asked her, well, do you play now? And she said, no, not since I had kids. You know, she had elementary school kids. I said, why not? Oh, you know, I just can't get around to it. And I think for that mom, if she would play once a month with friends or a few times a year, you know, that would make her so much happier mm-hmm. and healthier and more fulfilled. So doing things, you know, in moderation. So this doesn't mean that every weekend you're going out to do something fun because you're taking care of me, you know, mm-hmm. but that once in a while you have those things to look forward to and you're savoring those moments with your kids and you are secure in who you are. And the sooner we can be comfortable in our own skin, then the sooner we can stop trying to prove our worth and we can just enjoy being there with our kids mm-hmm. and not give in to those guilty feelings of, oh, I'm not doing this enough. And instead of enjoying it, we're feeling guilty and we need to put that aside and enjoy what we have.
So good. I remember studying to be certified to be a fitness instructor when my kids were young and teaching Monday, Wednesday around dinner time and then Friday mornings. And so that was just an arrangement where my hubby and I, he just knew what exercise did for me. I would go out, I'd be yelling, sweating, working out, and I'd come back and we'd eat a little bit later. And then Friday mornings, they would go into the massive daycare at this big health club. And they loved it because they got to see friends and climb all over the place. But I can't even tell you that little bit of income was even beside the point compared to what that did for my mindset and my perspective. And boy, if you've never taught aerobics, learn to teach water aerobics. That's a great place to start where you're getting paid to exercise, to be with people. Yeah. I'm telling you what. But maybe give some other tips on just pursuing health emotionally, spiritually, physically. What are some other pieces of advice you'd have?
Yeah, I think all of us would say we want to be spiritually, we want to be more healthy, we want to pray more, but then we think, oh goodness, how do I do it? How do I fit this in? And one of the ladies I interviewed for the book is New York Times bestselling author Karen Eman, and she talked about how with her friends, she homeschooled, and so when her friends, their kids left on the bus, her friend would say, oh, I just finished my Bessemer Bible study, and I'm sitting having coffee with Jesus, and Karen would just feel like fuming because she's thinking, I have three kids in the house, we're trying to homeschool and I only can talk to Jesus between bites and wipes and gulps and sips, you know. But she realized that in this season of parenting that she could not just put on the back burner her relationship with God, but that it wasn't going to look like this Pinterest moment of coffee and Jesus and this open Bible. And so she learned to give those first moments to God, to talk to him while she was doing the dishes, to listen to the Bible while she was driving in the car, you know, for taking her kids to McDonald's once in a while and having them play in the playpen while she read her Bible in the noisy McDonald's, you know. So for us as moms to realize health-wise, we need to yearn and thirst after God, and we need to be able to put the Lord in these moments, you know, take advantage of those moments to read your Bible, to pray. And I think that's a huge thing to realize that's a priority, and I shouldn't make the excuse of I'm too busy to do that.
And we've got about to take a break in about 1 minute. Can you say another word about just how you found physical health, just outlets for that?
Yeah. I go to this weekly spin class that my husband discovered in our neighborhood. Mm. And it's our neighbor, but she is a bodybuilder. So when I saw her business card, I was like, I'm not going to this lady. But do you know, my mom and I have been going there for 11 years. And we usually go once or twice a week. And it's 45 minutes of just spinning on a bike and lifting weights and such. But the reason it works is it's an appointment. It's something I paid for. So I can't just say, oh, I can't go. Like, I have to go. Mm-hmm. And then this fitness instructor, she yells at you, so you've got the accountability. And that accountability piece, that's been very helpful.
Love it. That's one of my happy places. Talking to Arlene Pellicane, talking about happy, healthy, action-oriented, prayerful, perseverant, and yes-filled. How to be a happy mom. Got a few copies. You want to chime into the conversation, ask a question, or give us your comments, 877-933-2484. What has worked for you? Maybe you found some personal boundaries so that you can do this thing, this mom thing, in a sustainable way. 877-933-2484 or email Susie@myfaithradio.com. Back in a moment. Sometimes sometimes that's all you can do, and that's all you need to do is just take the next step, and then the next step. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise. Glad to have you listening today. And hey, and if you're new to Faith Radio, we would love to send you a welcome listener packet. You can find that on our website. Just let us know you need one, and we'll send you some great stuff, information on what we're all about, and the best of CDs so you can hear some sample programming. MyFaithRadio.com. Talking to Arlene Pelicane today about her new book, 31 Days to Becoming a Happy Mom, and she uses the acronym HAPPY. And I'm just going to list these for you because we're walking through them one by one. Healthy, action-oriented, prayerful, perseverant, and yes-filled. So if you just tuned in, we've already covered healthy. You can go back and catch the podcast in just a little bit. Let's talk, Arlene, about being action-oriented. And I know what you mean about this because you can get into that place as a mom where it's like, I'm going to count to 100.
You know what I mean? I'm still counting.
Yes. So talk about being action-oriented.
And I want to, your listeners to know that although I strive to be very good at this, just yesterday my children were saying, you know, when daddy says something, it means to do it. But when mommy says something, it's a warning. And I was like, oh, no, I have to get better at this myself. You know, and it's just this whole idea that we can talk and talk and talk and we want to give that second chance, but many times it is the action that counts. You know, Dr. Kevin Lehman talked about how you can say, okay, I'm going to let you go this time, but don't do it again. But what does that child hear? You can do that again because I just let you go. You know, the action is going to win out over the words. And so for us to realize, what are some actions that we can do to show that we mean what we say? So, for instance, in our home, one of the problems we have is at breakfast over the green smoothie. You'd be so delighted that I'm serving spinach in my children's smoothies, you know. But they just, well, the girls will just sit there like they have all the time in the world. And it's like, we need to get to school. We need to get going. And we'll talk till we're blue in the face. Please start your smoothie. Come on, let's go. You've got 5 minutes. Come on. And we realize, why are we talking so much? We need actions. And so for my daughter, the fourth grader, it's, okay, I guess you didn't want to have your smoothie. Mommy will be dressing you today. And I don't dress her in anything embarrassing, but it's not what she chose. Hmm. And at this stage, she wants to choose. And then for Lucy, when she was younger and wasn't going to school yet, I would say, okay, well, I guess you're not hungry. I'll go ahead and put that in the fridge, and you're not going to have any snacks. And then at lunchtime, you'll be seeing that again. And so they were actions. They weren't all these words. And so when you think about your children, and the, you know, the same problems you keep having over and over each day, think of what are actions that will speak to them instead of using words. Use the least amount of words possible when giving a command, and then try to enforce more so with action than with words.
Excellent advice. Okay, prayerful. You touched on this, but say a bit more about it if you would.
You know, one thing I have absolutely loved is being part of a Moms in Prayer group, and it's momsinprayer.org, founded by Fern Nichols, who I interviewed for the book. And 35 years ago, she was terrified that her son was going into junior high, and that terror had led her to pray with one other mom for their kids and their school, and that led to a worldwide movement of moms in 140 countries and counting. And the mission's very simple: 2 praying moms for every school. And so I have been praying since my, now he's in sixth grade. I started praying for him in first grade. And all it means, sometimes it's just myself and another woman. Sometimes it's a handful of women. And we pray God's word specifically over our child and over their school. We get these sheets from Moms in Prayer. So it gives us a prayer guide so we don't have to prepare for it in any way. And it's 1 hour every week that they're in school that we're praying for them. And I cannot tell you the difference it is knowing that I have prayed for my child by name and God is guarding over them, watching over them. And we've seen God's favor so much. A quick example, when my son was in first grade, you know, it's a big public school of 1,200 kids, and we prayed together, please help Ethan find a Christian friend. The very next day, he comes home as a first grader and says, Mom, a boy was singing at recess a Christian song, and I asked him if he was a Christian, and he said, yes, and Mom, he's in my class. And what a pleasure to say, Ethan, we just prayed about that yesterday, that God would bring you a Christian friend. And you will see your prayers answered over and over again. And I think there's added power when you pray with other moms.
Love, love, love it. Okay. Perseverant.
This is this whole idea of you are raising an adult, you are not raising children, and this is how it works. If I'm raising a child, then when I'm in a restaurant and my 3-year-old grabs my phone and starts playing a game, then I just let him do it because I'm raising a child, and right now my child is happy, and we want my child to be happy. This is great. But if I'm raising an adult, I say to myself, wait a minute, you can't sit here with a picture book, and we can't look at that together, or we can't talk or play tic-tac-toe on a napkin, or you can't sit still for 3 minutes without having something, you know, a digital binky. You can't do that without having a little digital binky. And if I'm raising an adult, then I realize this is a problem.
I don't know, Arlene. I see lots of adults with digital binkies. I'm just saying.
I know. So, that's pretty funny. Maybe I am raising an adult with his digital binky at 45. Yeah, that's probably true. And so it just puts that different lens on it of, okay, in this moment, I might want to just capitulate and say, sure. But if I'm raising an adult, no, you can't eat ice cream every day because that's really going to catch up with you in your 30s and 40s. And so that you're perseverant. You've got the long haul in mind, and you don't mind working hard in the short term so that you can have the benefits later. Because, you know, if you're hard on your children now, life will be easy for them. But if you're easy on your children now, life will be hard for them. And they'll think, why is everything so difficult? My mom made everything so easy for me. You know, and that's what we're doing today.
Yeah.
And so be perseverant and train them for the long haul.
And let me tell you, I've talked to some of those young adults who've been, gone through a time of great disillusionment because they lived in a very comfortable bubble. But when they got out and they went to college or employee, their professors and their employers didn't think everything they said was brilliant. And I'm telling you what, they lost their footing. They went through times of really disillusionment with their own parents who meant well, but they just said, you know, you did not prepare me to stand out in this world and succeed. And then they were angry. So they might love the comfort while they're there, but there'll be a day that they've got to face the music, and then they won't be so happy that you took the easy route. So that's huge.
Yeah.
Well, this listener wrote in and said, hi, how does Arlene fit in time to make healthy meals with kids involved in activities? I have 3 busy kids. What do you say?
Yeah. I use the grill a lot, so I am not a good cook. So
yeah, me neither.
I will take chicken, and I will just put Yoshida sauce in it, and I will marinate that overnight, and then I will put that on the grill. And then we will eat that with rice and broccoli and salad and kind of bring in my sixth grader actually is starting to like to cook and such, so he'll cut up the lettuce and kind of help out. And so we tend to, like, make something, and then probably the next day it's leftovers of whatever it is that we made, and we're piecing things together and stuff. So I consider myself a griller and an assembler, and then maybe once a week I'll cook something, and it'll kind of spread it all out.
That sounds good.
It's a good question.
And I'll say this, I'm not a great cook either. I'm a decent cook. My hubby tells me to say that. But putting sweet potatoes in the crock pot, stabbing them with a fork, wash them off, put them in the crock pot, they're delicious and super easy.
Oh, that sounds
super
good.
Healthy.
I'm going to try that.
Come on now. All right. I gave somebody cooking advice. You all heard it here.
I know. Look
Mark
at that.
This day. All right. Okay. So we talked healthy, action-oriented, prayerful, perseverant. Those are so good. This yes-filled, I want to hear more about that one.
You know, one of the things is say yes to fun, because so many times we're just like, oh, I'm too tired and this is not fun. But say once in a while, you got to say, you know what? We want to be the fun house. We want to have fun. And so think of things that your kids like, and it's going to change with the stages. Like right now, my son loves to play laser tag, and we just got these laser tag guns, and we go to the park at night, and we like run around and shoot each other and stuff. First grader loves it. Everybody loves it. And so it's just find ways to have fun together, because, you know, a lot of families, we might play video games next to each other, but we don't play together. Like, we don't have mutual activities where we're playing together, where we're, you know, a family is surfing together, or a family's rollerblading together, or a family's biking together. That used to be something you'd see more often, a whole family doing some kind of activity together, but you don't see that as much now. So think, what's something, and I have to tell you, this is a sore spot in my home, because all my 3 kids and my husband, they'll all like something like rollerblading, and I don't like it at all. Like, I'm terrible at it. I'm terrified of it, but I'll strap them on and be with them for a little bit just because I want to be with them, you know, to have fun together. So think of ways that you can have fun with your kids, because they'll remember that you tried, and they'll remember that you were there for those good memories.
Excellent. Well, you ask that you take kind of an inventory in the book, Are You a Happy Mom? And I'm going to read each of these and have you just sort of speak to them, because I'm sure that many tired moms feel bad for being tired and feel bad for being worn out, and maybe you'll have some advice. I'm not overwhelmed or stressed by motherhood on most days. Do you agree with that or disagree? I'm not overwhelmed or stressed by motherhood on most days. Of the moms you meet, would you say it's a kind of an even split, or do most moms seem that they are overwhelmed and stressed by motherhood?
I think it would tip more that more moms would be stressed out. Barna research says that 8 out of 10 moms say that they are overly stressed on most days. And so, again, I think part of that is maybe expecting too much of ourselves and putting too much on our plate. There's no margin in the day, so just the smallest inconvenience throws the whole day off. You know, so sometimes it is getting a few activities pruned off the schedule and having a simpler, pared-down life.
Okay, this one says, my children are respectful and well-behaved. Is that an even split, or would you say that's not the case typically?
I think that is less of a dramatic thing as the first question we just talked about, but I think it is very important that we realize that children can be respectful and well-behaved at any age, because we tend to make excuses. You know, they're 2, they're 3, there's no way they could do it. They're preschoolers, they can't do it. They're at every stage, there's an excuse of why they can't be respectful and well-behaved. And yet, if you are training and teaching that, you will be so much happier.
I remember my middle one, I got most of my speaking and writing material from him because he was our strong-willed child, you know?
Right, well, exactly.
He's a straight arrow as an adult, but boy, that kid challenged me at every turn.
How funny.
And I remember one day that he was in his room because he'd been in the corner a number of times during that day, and he's about ready to go to bed, and he opens up the door and he peeks his head out and says, Mom, I think I learned something today. And I said, really? What did you learn? Good choices, good life. Bad choices, bad life. Good night.
Nice.
Shut the door. I'm like, okay, we're getting somewhere. Well done, son. Anyway, okay, how about this one? I don't yell at my kids. Do you think go ahead.
It's a good question to ask, and it's that whole idea of how angry am I getting each day, and it's bubbling out in me yelling at the kids. And that goes back to being action-oriented, that if we're not using consequences at work, then we are getting upset and frustrated, and we're yelling a lot. And I think a lot of moms deal with this.
Okay, so would you say, if we have anger boiling up day after day,
yeah,
we may be lacking on the consequences. Is there any other, because I feel like that's kind of an alarm, a flare, you know what I mean? A warning flare. You need to make some changes, because that's not a place to stay, especially with kids and the unpredictability
Absolutely.
Of it all. What are some other maybe really important decisions a mom needs to make if she finds herself, her anger kind of boiling from day to day?
Yeah, I think for her to stop and just ask herself, why am I so angry? What is making me so angry? Because the anger is in response to her either being disappointed or her being sad about something or her being unheard or whatever the case may be. So getting to that, why is it that I am feeling so angry? And then what are my trigger points? And how can I, how can I control this more? Is there someone that I need to reconcile with? Is that why I'm so angry? Do I have unforgiveness in my heart? Am I not getting enough sleep, which we have talked about earlier? And then, of course, my co-author in Growing Up Social, Dr. Gary Chapman, has a wonderful book on anger. Be researching anger and learn about anger so that you can deal with it in a better way.
We need to take our last break here. When we come back, we're going to kind of continue to walk through this list. And the next one is, this should be interesting, my kids do what I tell them, not the other way around. Wow. We are in such a day, aren't we? Talking to Arlene Pelletier. When we come back, we'll walk through this list, kind of asking the question, are you a happy mom? And this is no condemnation. It really is an invitation to make some changes so that you can be a happy mom. More in a moment. Glad you're listening today. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise. I'm talking to Arlene Pelletier about 31 Days to Becoming a Happy Mom. That's the title of her new book. And thinking of a Beth Moore, a prayer that she writes out in Believing God. And the open says, today I accept my calling, not to perfection or performance. My calling is to faith. I just love that. And I think moms maybe need to hear that today, because while there are choices that we can make to really make life so, so different, our calling is to faith. Engage our faith. We're not called to perfection or performance. So, Arlene, let's walk through this, a few more on the list. My kids do what I tell them, not the other way around. This is a question, a kind of an inventory. Are you a happy mom? Speak to that one.
Yeah, so that you can ask yourself, is that how it runs most of the time? Not all the time, but most of the time. And it's the idea of who is the leader in your home. Are your kids leading you, or are you leading your children? And I think for many moms, they're having a hard time because the kids want ABC, and we give them ABC. Mm-hmm. And so for us, once in a while, we've got to say, wait a minute, I need to stand up straight, and I need to be the leader, and I need to say, this is what we're doing. And even if everyone says, I don't want to do it, Mom, I don't feel like it, mm-hmm. I don't feel good. You know, they felt fine a second ago, but now all of a sudden, I don't feel good. And they say, wait, no, I am the mom, and we're going to follow through with this.
All right, very, very good. I remember one time I was in a mall, and this teenage little stunning bombshell was walking, stomping her feet, talking so rudely. And I'm like, who are you talking to? Then I noticed about 15 feet back, her mom is fumbling to keep up with her, digging in her purse, trying to find the credit card to give to her. And I can't tell you the kind of restraint it took for me not to go step in front of that mama and say, stop following her. Stop following her. Because it was such a good, terrible picture for me. And I know we can get there. But go ahead. What were you going to say?
I was going to say, and do not give her your credit card.
Amen. Amen. Oh, my goodness. One of these things doesn't belong with the other. Okay.
That's right.
Yeah. Okay. So I get enough rest each day. Okay. We talked about this earlier, but the reason I want to revisit just for a moment is because sometimes we think we can postpone rest for the vacation we're going to take in May. And it's, you know, just like you can't save all your eating for a month. 6 months from now. This is a daily, daily need. And so I love that you said, I get enough rest each day. So just say a word about the discipline of protecting your need for rest each day.
Yeah, and really seeing it as a priority in your life. So this isn't a luxury. This isn't just for the precious few who have, you know, these perfect children. They don't exist. Mm. For you to say, I will get 7 to 8 hours of sleep a night, and I'm going to guard that. And if something happens at night, I'm going to say, I'm sorry, I can't do that right now. Maybe I'll do it tomorrow. And to not apologize for that. You know, if you've got to slink away because you got to get to bed early, that's okay. You can do that and make it part of your routine, part of your schedule. And, you know, a lot of it is we're losing that sleep because we get kind of in that mindless surfing zone. We're like, mm-hmm. we're looking at shows and we're looking at our social media, and we meant to do it for 5 minutes and then 1 hour, we're still there. So it might be setting a timer. And when you do your social media, you set it for 15 minutes. And then when it beeps, you log off and you're done. And you just know that my sleep is more important than catching up with every last person that I know.
And your brain is not resting, even though you feel like you're unhitching.
Yeah.
Your brain is not resting. You're not getting the kind of rest, like in sleep rest, your body actually heals. When you unhitch and you're just surfing, you're not healing. You're not at all. It really is a waste of time because you're not really moving forward physically. Your body's not restoring itself during that time.
Yeah.
That's huge. Okay. I make time to pursue my own interests outside my children.
Yeah, so that your kids are not everything. Your kids are a big thing, but that you have other things. You know, you talked earlier about how you love teaching aerobics and love just getting out a little bit gave you so much more energy at home. And so I think if you as a mom can think of what are the things that really excite me and how can I do that more often, maybe I'm going to work on a part-time basis, maybe I'm going to volunteer for a charity that I'm really excited about. So doing things outside of that zone of your kids, and then your kids will see, oh, look at the different interests that my mom has, and that's good for your kids to see also.
Excellent. I love this one. I do not make it a habit to compare myself favorably or unfavorably to other moms. This is epidemic, I think, in every generation, every day. But boy, if we can break this habit, we'll be enjoying life a whole lot more.
That's for sure. You know, there was Karen Eamon, who I referred to earlier, she talked about the race to replicate, that when she became a mom, it was like, oh my goodness, look at that person. I've got to replicate them. Look at that. And it was just this race to replicate. And she realized, I'm not trying to replicate other people's children. These are my unique children. And I think for us to realize that the comparison trap is a dead end, because I can always find someone who's going to make me feel good about myself because they're so, you know, much further behind. And then I'm always going to find someone ahead of me that makes me feel like, oh, I'm such a loser. So the comparison trap is a dead end.
Dead end indeed. And you wrote about this, so I'd love to have your thoughts on it. You said, I'm pleased with how my kids use screen time and how I use it too. I would venture to guess that the majority of parents in this modern day society could not say that they're pleased with their screen time or their kids' screen time.
Yeah, I think they would say, my goodness, how in the world did we get here?
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
did I get to this point where we were all glued to our screen so often? So I think, you know, in the book, 31 Days to Becoming a Happy Mom, there's a game plan for screen time, and so that you can kind of be crafting your own plan. So I asked different moms, what are you doing? And there are things like nighttime roundup, that at night you get all the devices, even your teenagers, and you put them all in your master bedroom. And if you've got to put it under lock and key because of your spouse, that's fine. too, but you just put everything down so that everyone knows at night we're not going to be checking our stuff in the middle of the night. It's going to interfere with that sleep that we talked about. It could be meal times, that you have no screens during meal times. Things like a priority list, having your older kids write down all the things that are important to them, including video games, and let them discover for themselves, oh, I guess video games, that's not quite as important as studying for the SAT or completing my homework, you know. So let them figure out what are the priorities in my life and what kind of time should I be devoting to these things.
Excellent. Okay. I have another mom friend or group I meet with regularly for encouragement and accountability.
Don't we need that mm-hmm. shoulder? And I think most women do it alone. Mm-hmm. And then the most we do is maybe some social media, which meets some needs for it, but it cannot duplicate meeting someone face-to-face, like having someone hug you and say, it's going to be okay, and oh my goodness, my kids threw spaghetti at me too. And you know, just mm-hmm. being able to talk and commiserate together, and then to pray together, to have a friend you can ask each other, what went well this week, what didn't go well this week, what could you do next week you think that could be better? Just having that simple person to kind of be able to hit the reset button with is such a huge thing. Maybe a mentor mom, maybe an older mom who would just love to meet with you and talk with you, who's craving that herself because she's an empty nester and she misses all this and she doesn't have grandkids yet and she'd love to love on your kids, you know. Mm-hmm. So looking for those mentor moms, it could help us also along the way.
Excellent. And this is a good one. I pray for my children every day or most days. How often or how prevalent is that parents who are praying for their kids every day?
Yeah, I think we want to pray for our kids every day, but for many of us, it's very difficult to remember. And then we think, oh, I just heard this on the radio. I'm going to pray, Lord, bless my child, you know. But for us to be able to have either little disciplines, whether there are many prayer devotional books that can help us, where we can pray scriptures over our children, whether it is a weekly group like a Moms in Prayer group, or something that just helps us to remember, I need to pray for my child by name. And the more I do that, you know, the better off they're going to be.
Mm. I have at least one fun moment and laugh each day. Love that one.
Yeah, one of the moms I interviewed, Hannah Keeley, she's got 7 kids, and she's just like a party waiting to happen. It's her personality. But having the 7 kids, sometimes the party was not happening. And one night her husband asked, did you have fun today? And she thought about it, and she realized, I did not have any fun today. And I think a lot of us, I will ask myself that question, I think, nope, it wasn't really fun. And so I think for us to schedule fun, to make fun, to watch a funny, you know, here's a good positive screen time use, you know, comedian Tim Hawkins, he's our family's favorite. Watch that for 5 minutes and have a little bit of fun and a little bit of a lift, and just have things in the day where you are actually having fun. And some of that is us lightening up and making jokes instead of being all stressed out, but make space for fun.
Mm. The last one says, I understand my goal is to launch adults, not to raise children who are dependent on me. And we touched on that. But I think it was Ted Cunningham who was on recently. He said that we tend to rush our kids through childhood and prolong their passage into adulthood. So strike a balance for us, because you're saying think long, so we're not treating them like babies and children as if they're always going to be that way. But on the flip side, we do rush them through childhood. And then when they get to be, you know, we want to prolong adolescence, because then we don't want to let go of them. And both of those are, I think, disarming and disabling. So strike a balance, if you would.
Yeah, and I like what Ted Cunningham says about that childhood's got it. It's a both. It's not, when I say that we're raising an adult, I'm not saying that at a young age they've got to learn all these things that are so beyond them, but that you realize that someday they're going to have to get there, and we should have their character be going in that mm-hmm. direction. And so I think that to realize that later on, these small things that I'm doing, they are going to matter, and to be able to be very proactive on what you're choosing to say and to do with your kids. And I think we engineer sometimes the dependence, because as a mom, we want to feel needed. So that's why we prolong that adolescence, because certainly my 21-year-old really needs me still,
yeah.
because I need him or her still. So certainly they must need me too. And so for us to kind of start cutting those strings as well as they grow into tweens mm-hmm. and teens, and to start saying, wait a minute, I'm not trying to engineer dependence on me. I'm trying to engineer their independence. There's a story I wrote in the book about my son. And ever since he was 2 years old, I put a fresh pair of white socks on his feet, and we talk about our day and such. And that was like our little bedtime ritual. Well, he's in fifth grade, and I'm shoving these socks on his feet. And I'm thinking, what am I doing? You are way too old for this. And I realized in that moment, what am I doing as a mom? He can do this himself. And so from now that day forward, fifth grade, he's putting on his own socks. And so we as moms sometimes can engineer the dependence, and we're the ones who have to let go.
And then we just realize those things and we make the adjustment. Again, not perfection, not performance. Yeah. We're called to faith. But these are some practical ways that we can really show up as a mom and make life better. Arlene, this has been such a great, great time. Thanks so much for the conversation today.
Thank you so much, Susie.
God bless you. Title again of her book is 31 Days to Becoming a Happy Mom. You've been listening to Live the Promise. I'm Susie Larson. In just a bit, you'll find the podcast up on our website at myfaithradio.com. If you've got a fellow mama that would need encouragement today, would be blessed by what Arlene had to say, such practical help. In a bit, that podcast will be up, and you can share it with a click of a button by Facebook, email, or Twitter. Remember this, the Lord wants you to last long and finish strong, and He is the one who keeps you strong to the end. Have a great day.